1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A day after the discovery of six hostages found shot to death in a Gaza tunnel, there were protests across Israel and around the world.
Tens of thousands of protesters voiced their anger after six more hostage bodies are found in Gaza, including Israeli-American Hirsch Goldberg Pollen. Israeli forensics determining that Hamas shot all six of them at close range between Thursday and Friday morning. The protest fueled by outrage at Prime Minister Netanyahu. Demonstrators chanting slogans demanding Netanyahu strike a deal.
ABC's Britt Clennett in Tel Aviv. San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Ricky Purcell is out of the hospital. He was shot in the chest during an attempted robbery yesterday in downtown San Francisco. A suspect is in custody. SoCal Edison's cut the power indefinitely to more than 100 homes in the Rancho Palos Verdes area over worries about land movement. This is ABC News. Federal investigators are on the scene of a fatal plane crash in a residential area of Oregon.
A small plane crashing and killing three people. The twin-engine Cessna going down Saturday morning in Fairview, about 15 miles east of Portland, close to a regional airfield. The local fire chief confirming three people killed. The pilot, a passenger, and someone inside their own home. Julie Ritchie Cody says her sister lives two houses away.
My sister's lost her home. It's going to take a long time to recover from this.
The plane also took down power lines, starting a small brush fire.
ABC's Perry Russin. A sad anniversary. 85 years ago today, German Nazi forces invaded and bombed Polish territory at the start of World War II. Sirens sounded today and a memorial bell tolled in the town of Wayland. It was the Germans' first civilian target on September 1, 1939. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
We ate so much wild game. I mean, every Sunday was rabbit, partridge, fish, venison.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That was not believable.
No, at all. Wow.
We did not do that.
Cool.
We did
not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
Succeed. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
All right, I'm Rocker here with Sam Davison, and you are listening to Max Inc. Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Make sure to go to civicmedia.us and download the app. Listen to the podcast. All kinds of good information there. Max Inc. Radio has all of our podcasts, including the Live in the Lairs. And it's time right now for Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Find them at movetomadison.com. Phil Tittle is singer-songwriter based out of central Wisconsin. His decades-long journey taking him to the shores of Lake Michigan is every bit evocative and compelling as the blues, southern rock, and country music he listened to growing up in rural Georgia. His music is reflective of artists who shaped his own sound and playing, artists like Tom Petty, Greg Allman, Waylon Jennings, or Jackson Browne, who seamlessly wave a great story through the firmly embedded pocket of low rumbling guitar groove. In the studio with us right now, Phil Tittle and percussionist Terry Franklin. Phil, Terry, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Thank you, Rocker. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
And, you know, you came here from Grafton. A little early. Did you get around the Mad City?
I did. Hung out right here in the square and walked around and did the Taste of Madison, and I found my new favorite soul food restaurant.
Oh, what is it? We got to know.
I think it was Marie's Soul Food.
Marie's Soul Food. Yep. Wow. Yeah. I got to try them all. What'd you have?
Fried chicken, collard greens, and sweet potatoes. And I guess I should have asked, is it okay that I plugged her?
That's fine. We love it. We love our community.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going back. I'm going to go find where her store or restaurant is and go back.
Now, Phil, let's get to know you a little bit. Tell us about how you got started in music. What's your backstory?
Where to start? I think, like most people, I had a natural sort of affinity for music. In fact, my aunt who lives down in Port Washington, I remember her sitting on the edge of the bed right before she went to college playing Puff the Magic Dragon. I'm dating myself here. Puff the Magic Dragon on acoustic guitar, and she let me hold that and kind of bang around on it. So just always had a thing for music, and I wanted to play. I couldn't really afford it when I was growing up. So as soon as I joined the military, that was one of the first things I did.
Well, how old were you when you started?
In my early 20s. I didn't stick with it very long. Life in the military kind of got in the way. So I got out of it a little bit, and then I kind of jumped back into it probably in my early 30s. So I've been doing it for about 25 years now.
Okay. Well, often I'm talking to people who are like, oh, I started when I was a little kid.
People tell me that all the time. Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was four, and I go, wow, I was eating dirt when I was four, you know, so.
Yeah, but, well, you know, so what about your parents' role in music? Were they musical? Did they listen to music? Did they have a record collection?
Yeah, absolutely. My mom in particular, I would credit, she had probably the most diverse taste. So I can remember being very young, listening to Pink Floyd and, you know, Led Zeppelin and stuff. She ended up actually like fronting her own country band.
Really?
She got older.
You're in Wisconsin?
I think it was down in Florida mostly. Okay. Yeah. And then I found some lyrics from songs that she was writing after she passed away, and I was kind of that was really cool.
Did you put them to music?
I haven't yet, but I hung on to them, so that may come one day. My dad, I joke because he owned three albums, one of which was CCR. I love that.
Yeah.
Neil Diamond and Elvis Presley. And to this day, even though I don't listen to him, I can still sing every single Neil Diamond song by heart, because that was all he ever played, was those three songs or those three albums.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Phil, you joined the Air Force right after high school and spent 20 years traveling the globe with an acoustic guitar. What was your favorite country to play in?
I think the favorite, you know, and this wasn't me playing a show by any chance or by any stretch, but I think the favorite memory I really have was I went to Afghanistan shortly after 9/11. So we were still very, it was very rudimentary there. And so a lot of guys brought guitars there just to kind of pass time. And I can remember we weren't allowed to turn the lights on or anything. It had to be completely pitch dark at night. But I can remember sitting there with a couple guys with our acoustic guitars, just kind of banging away outside a tent. And you could literally see the Milky Way. Incredible view, and I just remember that experience. So I'd say that was my favorite playing in another country.
Well, tell us about your military career. Just kind of, you know, where'd you go, and you took your guitar. I mean, did they make you pay extra baggage for taking a guitar? Like they charge us musicians in the commercial airlines?
Most of the time, I was either, you know, sitting in the back of a military transport and it was on a pallet somewhere, or if I was flying, it was a chartered commercial airliner, but it was all military guys. So, yeah, I didn't have to pay for it. And then I think in one, like when I went to Afghanistan, I actually left my guitar there. I left it for the chaplain because he was trying to start some kind of you know, music ministry sort of thing. And I thought that was a good cause. So I left it there with him. But yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Well, you know, talk about breaking down cultural and communication barriers with music, because, you know, being in the military, cruising all over the world, you run into a lot of different people. Talk about that.
Yeah. The military definitely informed me, both songwriting, just how I see the world, how I kind of learned really early on that, you know, culture and some of that stuff aside, we're all the same. You know, it doesn't matter if you're from Saudi Arabia or Korea and Germany, Panama. I mean, I think of all the places I've been, everybody I met, when you kind of cut through some of that cultural doctrine, I guess, or customs and courtesies. You can get to know people. They're just like us. You know, we're all trying to find our way and be happy and provide for our families. And that really resonated with me. And of course I met, you know, a lot of really cool people that did a lot of really cool things. I always joke that I met the, he introduced himself as the Korean Elvis. And I kind of called him on that. I was like, Elvis, really? He's pretty big. And he's like, okay, maybe the Korean John Denver. So I laughed about that. And it turned out he really was. He was very, very
really?
Famous. Yeah, we couldn't go anywhere without middle-aged women just rushing and wanting his autograph and to get a hug or something from him. He was very famous. So it was cool.
Well, let's get to some live music in the lair with Phil Tittle, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. This song is called I Wish I Knew, and it sounds frustrating, but tell us about this song before you play.
Yeah, I Wish I Knew was hatched out of just, I think, anybody who creates art, you know, music in particular. But for me, you get to a point where you're just like, why am I doing this? Does nobody... It seems like nobody cares. They don't want to hear it, whatever. You know, you start feeling sorry for yourself. And so, that's where this song kind of came from, was just that frustration of what is this all doing? And I wish I knew. Why am I doing this?
All right, let's hear it. This is Phil Tittle, I Wish I Knew, live in the lair on Max Inc. Radio.
Taking everything I've got and left it in a parking lot. You know the one for broken dreams. Forget all about the promised land, a parlor trick, a sleight of hand. It's just another bait and switch, it seems. Chasing castles in the sky, success is just a contact high. It's just another party for a rented costume. Never knowing what to say, someone always has a better way, but I'm still the biggest critic in the room. Where's it all leading to? Is it tangled up in blue? The dead ends, all the burned out bridges and the walls I'm breaking through. Do you know my name at all? When I hear their beck and call, don't know what you're thinking, but I never had a chance. Feels like all I'm getting is the same old song and dance. I wish I knew your point of view. I wonder where I'll go from here. The answers never seem real clear, and exposure still hasn't paid my rent. Maybe I'll just put it down, a different dream, a different town. I'm just another carny looking for a circus tent, a circus tent. Where's it all leading to? Is it tangled up in blue? Dead ends, all the burned out bridges and the walls I'm breaking through. Do you know my name at all? When I hear their beck and call, don't know what you're thinking, but I never had a chance. Feels like all I'm getting is the same old song and dance. I wish I knew your point of view. Hey, taking everything I've got and left it in a parking lot. Know the one for broken dreams.
All right, Phil Tittle right here on Max Inc. Radio, live in the lair. I'm Rocker here with Sam Davison. And Phil, after 20 years in the military, you retire. And this is really where the next part of your musical journey starts. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was, I think that was for me where it kind of quit becoming a hobby so much. I had more time on my hands. I wasn't traveling around. And it started with just one. I had more time. So I was investing a lot more energy into my practice. And I decided to cash in my GI Bill at Berklee School of Music and just kind of really learn how to write a song, like the craft and the art of writing a song. So I did some programs through there. At the same time, I wanted to kind of give back to the community. So I stood up a chapter of Guitars for Vets and How Fortuitous, because that was actually started right here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So I started a chapter in Pensacola, got that off the ground for a couple years, handed that over. And then kind of as a side gig, side hustle, if I'm being honest, probably more just to kind of place to store all my guitars. I started a music school.
How many do you have?
I don't know, man. That too many. I don't know. I really don't know. And that's sad. Wow. I should know. Maybe 12 right now or something. But yeah, so I started teaching music, guitar mostly, and some songwriting and a little bit of vocals. And that kind of became a side hustle and it was a pretty good one. I was making a lot of extra income with it.
And you opened a store?
Yeah, I opened a storefront studio and actually a couple different locations. I had a really good friend who I considered a musical mentor, and I kind of partnered up with him. He had a very successful business down in Pensacola, and I kind of ran it like a franchise for a while with him. It sort of modeled after that School of Rock, where we'd kids and adults and let them go down to the local, bar, venue, whatever, and play live music for their families and stuff. That was a lot of fun.
Wow. Now, you spoke of Guitars for Vets. That was Pat Nennesheim.
Mm-hmm.
We had him on the show actually just a few months ago.
Yeah.
Talking about that. And he was talking about how important it was for helping PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And how has PTSD affected you? And can you talk about how music helps that?
Yeah, I think that was what drew me to the program, was because I didn't really suffer from PTSD. I was fortunate in that I wasn't out, in the battlefront. But I had plenty of people that I worked with and around and for who did. Mm. So I saw the effects of it. So I got involved with this program. And when I started down there in Pensacola, most of the folks I was working with were Vietnam vets. We were kind of still really in the middle of Iraq. So, even at that age, those guys were really, really grateful for what we were doing for them.
And now you are a certified life and career coach.
That is true.
So, tell me about what you do, what people you kind of guide. Like, what does a career coach do?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Or life coach.
Life coach.
What kind of advice do you have here?
It's almost, I almost feel like I have to apologize sometimes when I go out there, only because it seems like everybody on TikTok is a life coach now. And, I'm being honest, right? And the truth and the reality is I think it takes a lot of training and a lot of time. And there's some skill involved in that. And I made sure to invest in all those things because I really, you're dealing with people's lives. And so what I really do is, unlike a therapist, I don't go, or a counselor, I don't go and try and fix what's wrong with you. I try to help you focus on the future and set goals and hold you accountable and figure out what's getting in your way. Most of the time it's, our limiting beliefs that we accumulate for ourselves. But right now I'm working for an accounting firm out in California. And I'm coaching, kind of half coaching, half mentoring, teaching people and helping coach them through to become leaders and managers and, effective at their job. And it's the best job in the entire world, and I love it.
Now, do you think that your military background had a lot to do with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I wish I would have had some of the skills that I've developed and continue to develop as a career coach and a life coach in the military. I see where I would have been a more effective leader, but for sure, just meeting people where they're at in their life and being able to be able to help them achieve whatever it is they want. And more importantly, showing up and not trying to tell them what they should be doing, but really getting them to open up and discover things about themselves they maybe didn't even know. You know, that's really cool. It's a lot of fun.
It's all about what you ought to be doing.
Well, I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, and when you think about it, it comes from a place of love, of course, right? But people, when you ask somebody or you tell somebody something, the first thing they want to do is go, well, this is what you should do, or this is what I would do. And that's well-intended and well-meaning, but what you should do and what, you know, is not the same maybe as what I should do. So yeah. I really get in there and talk and ask questions and pay attention to what people are saying. And I help them figure out what they should do. And that takes a little time sometimes. So, yeah, a lot of fun.
Let's get back to live music in the Lair with Phil Tittle, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight, it's called Cardboard Cowboy. Did I miss this movie?
No. Yeah, me too. I missed it as well. I wish this song would find a movie somewhere. That would be awesome. I think part of when I wrote it, I did have Yellowstone in my head because I was kind of watching that series and, you know, watching Kevin Costner age out. This is about a middle-aged cowboy, and that probably started to serve as some of the baseline for where this song came from.
Nice. This is Cardboard Cowboy, Phil Tittle. You are live in the Lair on Max Inc. Radio.
His hair is black as the Texas night, eyes as blue as Montana skies. Looking down those lucky strikes, he blows a puff with a blank disguise. The stubble's white on his chiseled chin, like the mountain air, his hair is thin. But she loves this man for what's within, not what she sees, but who he's been. He's just an old discarded cowboy, one you see the rundown five and dime, weathered by the midday sun, too far gone as a hired gun, discarded like a worn-out storyline. But you should have seen him in his prime. This cardboard cowboy's mine. His body's not what it used to be, but what's inside makes the man you see. Ain't it funny how we might disagree, but through it all, you come around for me. He's just an old discarded cowboy, one you see to run down five and dime, weathered by the midday sun, too far gone as a hired gun, discarded like a worn-out storyline. But you should have seen him in his prime. This cardboard cowboy's mine. He's just an old discarded cowboy, one you see to run down five and dime, weathered by the midday sun, too far gone as a hired gun, discarded like a worn-out storyline. But you should have seen him in his prime. This cardboard cowboy's mine. Yeah, he's mine. Cardboard cowboy, yeah, he's mine. Cardboard cowboy, cardboard cowboy.
Cardboard Cowboy. That's Phil Tittle live in the lair right here on Max Inc. Radio. I'm Rocker here with Sam Davison. Phil, tell us about your songwriting. You seem more like a brewer than an instant coffee guy.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a lyric guy. I pay attention to lyrics. I pay attention to things people say. I love to write from a title. So often I'll come up with a title and then I'll just kind of write the story around that. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's exactly what you said. I develop lyrics. I have ideas, and then sometimes I just sit down with my guitar and kind of noodle on a riff or some kind of groove, and then I sort of try to marry the two up. I've started working with a producer, and I found that just about time I sort of figure out exactly what I want to do, I'm wrong.
Right?
You know, and yeah, he brings a whole new dynamic to that process. But yeah, I think that's a very accurate way of describing it, Rocker.
Now, do you keep like a notebook to write down these things that people say? Like, how do you remember, like in conversation? Because I hear so many great things from people, but you know. I can remember them all,
the
right?
The beauty of the iPhone, man. I'm a note memo guy or whatever. The minute I hear something, if it's important, I immediately put it in the iPhone as a note, and so it's there, you know.
Wake up in the middle of the night and you're like,
that's the only thing I have not taught myself to do, and it makes me so mad because I wake up in the middle of the night and I have great ideas and I'm like, that is such a good idea. I know you're going to remember it in the morning. I absolutely don't remember it in the morning. So I need to get in that habit.
Man. Well, you know, you often participate in singer-songwriter contests, and tell us about these, because you've done pretty good at some of them.
I have not done as well as I would like to have done in them. But yeah, I think I placed in one down in Louisiana. I placed somewhere in the top five, perhaps, as a songwriter. I entered some lyrics into a American Songwriter magazine that anybody writes songs is probably familiar with, and entered lyrics, and I didn't win it, but I did place in that one, in the top three, I think. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why I entered those contests. Now you have to life coach me now, because it just sets you up for, you know, massive disappointment in comparison to the people. Which
is that how you ended up with your first song here tonight?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, now you recently recorded a few songs at the world famous Sound Kitchen in Nashville with Grammy nominated producer. Mm-hmm. First, tell us about the Sound Kitchen. Clyde Stubblefield, he always told us the party's in the kitchen.
Yeah.
What's the Sound Kitchen like?
The Sound Kitchen is really, really cool. That was my first foray into like a Nashville recording studio where, you know, you see the pictures of them on the wall of all the people who've been in there, walked through those doors, and Dolly Parton and Clint Black and Hank Williams Jr. I mean, Waylon Jennings, I think maybe even early on. This thing has been around for a long time, but it was really, really cool to be in there. There's several studios in there. I was in one of the smaller ones, and we would, you know, track vocals and stuff. And then we went like across town, where all the session musicians kind of joined in. But yeah, what a just an amazing experience, you know. It was great.
Now, who is Billy Smiley? Like, what has he done? So, I mean, he was your producer, right?
He is. He continues to produce songs for me and co-writes with me. Billy is best known, for any of your listeners who listen to contemporary Christian music and they're old enough, he was really big in the mid-80s Christian contemporary rock band. I mean, kind of heavy rock. Whiteheart, I believe it was called. And yeah, he was a guitar player and a singer in that band. They did really, really well. He still has several side projects that he does, most of it kind of along the, not the hard rock anymore, but the Christian type music. And phenomenal guy and just an absolutely stellar songwriter and producer. And he brings things out of me that I did not know I was capable of doing, so...
Wow, it sounds like he's a life coach.
Yeah, he is. I mean, sometimes he's, I won't say dad, he's older than me, but I'll call him my big brother. But he gets frustrated with me sometimes, like, why can't you hit that note? Like, I don't understand why you can't hit that note. And I'm like, I don't know either, right? You know, and then I feel bad. Like, so he's like, go home and practice. So, yeah, but he's wonderful for pushing me out of my comfort zone.
Well, let's get back to live music in the lair with Phil Tittle, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight is called Cigarettes and TV, and it's an unreleased song that you wrote with Billy Smiley. Tell us about this song before you play.
Yeah, Billy, sorry, I'm kind of half-tuning here while we talk, but Billy walked into the studio. I'd gone down there for a recording and writing session. He walked in one morning. He's like, hey, I got this really cool guitar sort of groove. I got the idea from listening to a song. And so he started playing through it, and I went to my iPhone, and I pulled out some lyrics that I had been kind of working on, and they sort of fit the vibe. And we sat there, and like 4 or 5 hours later, we had a song. And yeah, it's about, it seems to be a theme with me. It's a song about being middle-aged and frustrated with your life. Yeah. I need a life coach, man.
Oh, man. Hey, I think I'm starting a new career here.
I agree.
Cigarettes and TV. This is Phil Tittle. You are live in the lair on Max Inc. Radio.
Alone in a diner, thinking he must be cursed. Can't find the chorus for life's second verse. A cute little waitress comes and calls him, sir. He's gotta get better, it can't get any worse. Mama's little angel told to reach for the sky. But daddy's little devil never learned how to fly. Takes another drag, leans back in his chair. It's gotta get better, it's only up from here. Did you notice all the lines that were crossed? Time's easy credit, just tally the cost. All our lives we're swimming upstream, climbing ladders, building the dream. Did you think that you'd ever be crushing cigarettes and watching TV? Seasons change in the wink of an eye. He just quit living before he could die. Never stops to listen to that little voice. Gotta get better, ain't no other choice. Did you notice all the lines that were crossed? Time's easy credit, just tally the cost. All our lives we're swimming upstream, climbing ladders, building the dream. Credit card castles that we can't repay. Slay. Did you think that you'd ever be crushing cigarettes and watching TV? All our lives we're swimming upstream, climbing ladders, building the dream. Castles that we can repay, and time is a dragon that we try to slay. Did you think that you'd ever see your name up in lights on that marquee, crushing cigarettes and watching TV?
Brats, brandy, cow chips, and great local music. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
For the record, good sir, are you saying people that buy or sell with the Aaron Weber Group get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes?
I am, Senator. They also do virtual or in-person meetings, too.
You expect us to believe that the Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, is Madison's go-to real estate expert with results?
Yes.
Order! That's the Aaron Weber Group. Move to Madison.com. Order in the court.
Visit Full Mile Beer Company and Kitchen in downtown Sun Prairie today. Come for the homemade food and beer and stay for the live entertainment. 132 Market Street in Sun Prairie. See the full menu and upcoming events at FullMileBeerCompany.com.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
You found Wisconsin's local music authority. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
All right, we are back in live in the lair here on Max Inc. Radio. I'm Rocker here with Sam Davison. And we have Phil Tittle in the lair tonight, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Find them at movetomadison.com. Phil, you traveled around the world with the military. You spent a good part of your life in the South, but what brought you back to Wisconsin?
My mom was living up here. My aunt and uncle had moved here, 30 plus years ago, and my mom was kind of done with Florida just for health reasons. So she moved up here about 15 years ago. She wasn't doing very well, and it just time in my life when it made sense to kind of come up here, and I'm really glad I did. I got to spend about a year with her before she passed away, and just really, really got to know my mom because I didn't spend a lot of time growing up around her. So yeah, that was what brought me back, and it was just, and I liked it. I like Wisconsin. It's got a lot to offer. And
I was gonna say, like, what
kept me
what
here?
What kept you here?
Yeah,
right.
You know, my family's asked the same thing. My aunt and uncle, like, what? Why are you? You can go anywhere you want, and I'm like, I like it. The cost of living's relatively inexpensive compared to many places, and I like Four Seasons, and I like the people, and the phenomenal music scene. How was that for a?
Wow, that yeah, that's pretty cool. Well. Now, where did I go here? About Grafton. Tell us about Grafton, because that's where you're from. Grafton is right just north of Milwaukee along the Lake Michigan, 12,000 population, yeah. Founded in 1896. What's the music scene like in Grafton?
I don't know that it really has a quote-unquote music scene. I mean, Milwaukee's so close, I think a lot of people sort of gravitate there. And I think Appleton and, of course, Madison, I think it's just easy enough to get to those two places. That's where most people kind of focus on. But, you know, you have your cafes and your breweries and stuff like that, and you can I'll play the occasional gig at those, as do many others.
And you'll be performing at the Port Washington Farmers Market on September 14th and then again on October 19th. Do you find some of your songwriting inspiration at the market? Because, you know, there's a lot of interesting people cruising around the markets.
Yeah, there is. You know what? I think, I don't know that I really find a whole lot of songwriting inspiration, but I do find the motivation, oddly enough, there sometimes to get back out and play and share, you know, what gifts you've been given. So, because people there, probably more so than in restaurants and bars, they actually stop, they listen, you know, they come up, they tell you that they really like a particular song. Kids are phenomenal. Kids will come up and start dancing, and you know, I had one leave me a note in my tip bag or my tip jar or something about, you do really good, you should do this, you know, or something like that. And I just thought stuff like that's just cool. That's why I go back.
Wow, from the mouths of babes.
Yep.
Will you be performing around Wisconsin this fall? Where can we see you at? Are you going to be booking a tour?
Well, this handsome gentleman sitting right behind me here, him and I have just started this project, so I don't know. I'm going to turn it over to him and let him kind of figure that one out. I would love to. This is the first year I've put any effort into this, but I would definitely like to start getting more and more out there, particularly as my originals start, you know, coming together and I put out an album or something. So listen up, Terry. You're going to be put to work, buddy.
Well, now you say you were kind of saying a lot of your theme songs are about a guy who's, you know, too old and, you know, trying to make it in music. But really, aren't you kind of an inspiration, an example to people who always thought, gosh, you know, maybe I could have played music, but now I'm too old?
Man, I hope so. I don't know. I don't know that I would call myself an inspiration to many. But to your point, Rocker, yeah, you know what? I figured out somewhere along the way that we get to define success on our own terms. And I look at you and I go, there's a successful man in the music business, because I can tell you enjoy doing what you do and you're very good at it. And I think sometimes as much as I maybe inspire people my age to get out and do this, I think sometimes just my approach and my attitude might inspire some of the younger folks to quit worrying about, you know, how many likes or whatever you got on Instagram. Just go out and do what you love doing. You know, I know that sounds overly.
You got to love what you're doing to be happy.
Sounds very life coach like, but yeah, it's geez.
Awesome. Well, let's get back to live music in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight is called Hammer Down. Is this a song about the state of a vehicle's accelerator pedal?
It is. this song, I might have been taking some lyric writing classes or something at Berkeley, and I was practicing with shorter phrases and just kind of practicing song structure. You know, I wasn't terribly concerned about writing a deep meaning song, and I wanted something that sounded really cool on a Les Paul. So that was really my approach. What's going to sound good with, you know, going through a tube amp with the gain cranked up a little bit. So that was my approach, and it's just a fun song to play. I'm going to try, Rocker, to not break your board here, but...
Yeah.
Okay. I have a little bit of gain on this thing, so...
Oh, yeah. Turn it up. Let's hear it. This is Phil Tittle. This is Hammer Down. You're listening to Max Inc. Radio. We are live in the Lair.
Engine whines, exit signs, I can't keep up with these endless white lines. Dirt roads, area codes, 400 horses about to explode. Waves, roadside graves, too many towns that time couldn't save. Neon lights, moonlit nights, if this car had wings, I bet she'd take I'm right. slowing down, homeward bound, not turning around. Everything I'm wrong, don't know where I belong. Should I turn this car around or headed right out of town?
All right, Hammer Down. That is Phil Tittle live in the lair here on Max Inc. Radio. I'm Rocker here with Sam Davison. And let's give the drummer some. We have Terry Franklin came out from Waukesha tonight to the Mad City. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what's your backstory?
Well, thanks for having me, Rocker. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Well, I don't know. I've been playing drums on and off since the 90s, since the big grunge scene really got me into playing live, playing drums.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I grew up on... basically 80s country is what I
80s country.
Oh, yeah, my mom would just crank that stuff in the morning in the house, and you know, Kenny Rogers and Dolly and all that stuff.
Like, oh, the classics,
the classic 80s stuff. Yeah, yeah. And then I don't know, throughout my journey of playing in different bands in Milwaukee area, played a little rockabilly, and then I kind of discovered like this alt country sound, alternative a bit, you know. Not the commercial stuff. And yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to play. And I put an ad out there, and Phil was looking to start his band and back his project that he's on. And that's how we met, through the internet.
And then how old were you when you started playing?
I was probably 20.
20?
Yeah, I wasn't old enough to get into a bar yet, legally. So yeah, wow. I was about 20 years old.
So both of you guys really started about 20 years old.
Yeah, and, you know, I've always been in music and school and everything, but I never really bought a drum set till I was in my 20s. So.
But it all started with your mom and the country music in the morning.
It did. That's exactly how it started.
All right. And now I noticed that you brought a really interesting drum set here tonight. It's not really even a drum set, right? It's luggage.
It is luggage. It's a suitcase. You might have seen the past few years, busking got real... kind of popular in Milwaukee and probably Madison as well. And
oh, yeah.
The whole purpose is so you can take down your kit, throw it in your suitcase, and walk away before you get a ticket.
Yeah.
But I took it a step further. I found that the actual suitcase is, if you notice, there's a name on there. And I typed that name and number up, and it's an actual World War II soldier owned that piece of luggage.
Wow.
And... I kind of desecrated it a little bit too.
Well, it's got some stickers now. It's got bona fide drum legs on the side of it.
Yeah,
I mean, for real, they're like, it's drum hardware.
It's a kick drum, and the story behind it's cool, and it gets a lot of looks. It doesn't sound as great as, you know, a normal kick drum would, but
the original handle, so you can carry it around, and then you put a hole in the side of it, so you can get a microphone in there.
I did, because it doesn't sound deep enough for a kick sound, so I ported it, and we can mic it, and you know, through the soundboard, you can get a decent tone out of it at least. But for playing acoustically and you know, with guys with acoustic guitars or acoustic electric, it works real good. So
awesome. Well, thanks so much, Terry, for coming out here from Waukesha. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Phil, you know, let's get back to some war stories. You're a military guy. We all love war stories. Every touring artist has some, and you've been around the world. Tell us a story. I mean, who is Ghetto Demon?
Yeah. So this was after I retired, and I was, you know, putting a lot more time and effort into going around playing different states. And so I went out to New Orleans. I had a couple gigs lined up for a weekend, and I was at that place where I was pretty much taking any gig anywhere, you know, just to kind of to get the experience. But I found one, and I knew driving in I was definitely on the wrong side of the tracks. There was a sign at the door that talking about, you know, leaving your weapons in your car. I mean, I was just like, I'm not in the right place. And the doorman, as I was kind of setting up, the doorman was basically telling me, like, if you are not any good, I will forcibly remove you quick. You know, I mean, it was just like, if you suck, you're out of here quick. And he made it sound like violent, like it was going to include violence. I was like, wow, but I mean, he, you know, he was about half my height, but he looked like maybe he could pull it off. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do my best here. As it turned out though, we became really good friends. He dug my music and, invited me out to here to his truck, where he handed me a tape that he was working on with his band Ghetto Demon. And, Ghetto Demon sounds like what you think Ghetto Demon would sound like.
Maybe he'll send us an MP3. We can play it on Mexican Radio.
Maybe they're on Spotify. I don't know.
Well, let's get back to live music in the lair with Phil Tittle, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight, it's called Better Man, but this isn't a Pearl Jam cover.
No.
Tell us about this song.
Although I get the Eddie Vedder thing once in a while. Better Man is, I wrote this song probably, 10 years ago now, but it's, I don't know, it's, you know, again, that theme that comes up of I'm halfway through my life and I'm looking back going, man, you could do a little better, you know? And, so this is kind of my song to God and the universe of, hey, let's try this again and see if I can't get it right second half.
I think you should have started playing guitar at a younger age, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I should have. So this is Better Man, and we'll see where it goes.
I was almost at the summit, moving headlong in the wind, climbing up the ladder to the top of Mount O'Matter, of the bones of broken promises. But the open road called on me to make my getaway. But the problems of my past were still gaining on me fast, so I just took to running and wondered how long I would last. Help me make these changes, show me where I need to go. Should've made so long ago. Yeah, the road I've been traveling on has led me where the pain is. Lord, I want to be a better man. Can you take me? Take me as I am. I'm running down the highway, looking for a sign, thinking I should change my ways with things I'm leaning on, but nothing ever seems to last. On that dirty road leading down to Babylon. Whoa. Taking all my problems, simply moved them down the line, replaced with useless relics from a self-indulgent shrine. Never knowing where I was going, always first to get somewhere. But when you don't know where you're going, all roads lead you there. Help me make these changes, show me where I need to go. Help help me make these changes I should have made so long ago. Yeah, the road I've been traveling on has led me where the pain is. Lord, I want to be a better man. Can you take me? Take me as I am. Can you make me a better man?
Better man, we're here with Phil Tittle live in the lair on Max Inc. Radio. Hey, we just have a couple minutes left. Phil, Terry, thank you so much for coming in to Madison tonight to play for us live in the lair. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. This has been an absolute awesome experience, and I do appreciate it.
Now, we have one more song tonight, and it's called Waiting Here Forever. Why don't you tell about it, us about that and play out till the end?
Yeah, since we are really wrapped on time, this is a little bit of a departure for me. So it's just a really cool little love song and a different vibe, and we'll play it out and see how it sounds.
Let's go. Phil Tittle right here live in the lair on Max Inc. Radio.
Rocker, it's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I am so glad you had us on the show because you made a lifelong fan out of me. Hey, can I put a real quick plug and just tell everybody if they want to hear my music, go check out my website, philtittlemusic.com.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up.
The original Badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.